Welcome to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don, a program brought to you by Patients for Patients with Kidney Disease and their families. Hosted by The Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at theroadbacktolife.com. Now, here's your hosts, Ashley and Don. Welcome again to another session with Ashley and Don. This is The Road Back to Life and with Ashley and Don, and Ashley is not going to be able to be with us today. Today, we're going to have a special guest. He is our CEO and one of our mentors, our chief mentors. He's our director. He's one of the guys that's really important to keep this thing going. His name is Bob Crabtree. He's been on with us before, and he's going to be on with us today. So without further ado, Bob, it's good to have you today. It's good to see you. I know this is our first Zoom deal here we're doing, so welcome aboard.
Good morning, and thank you, Don. Yeah, this is really an exciting time for all of us. We've been wanting to look into using technology to advance our way of dealing with more people with limited resources, and this really interesting time may have given us the opportunity to do something we hadn't planned before. But thank you, and I'm really thankful for you inviting me.
Well, thank you again. And today's topic, listeners, is called Staying Healthy in COVID-19. Now, just to fill you in a little bit, we are not going to have a big, long, lengthy discussion about COVID-19. We have not been trained as doctors. We're not medical staff or personnel. We are patients. But we do know what we've been told all along and what we should and shouldn't be doing. So this is kind of one of those reminders about that. And along the way, what we're going to talk about is staying healthy. And Bob, you know, we've always talked about it's really important to stay healthy. Can you speak on that a little bit, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the most important thing we can do as patients or even as human beings is to maintain our health so that we can actually, make it easier for our families and us as well as our medical staff. And especially in a time like this, it's so important that we maintain, do the things that we know we're supposed to do, not take silly chances. You know, I find this really interesting and kind of disturbing, but on some of my sources, I was looking and they're reminding transplant patients to continue taking their anti-rejection drugs. They've been deciding on their own to reduce the amount of their meds, hoping that it will make their immune system do a better job at fighting COVID-19, which is not a good idea at any time. But yeah, it's things like this that we need to keep in mind. Not only is it, vitally important that you continue taking your medication, but even in a time like this, we need to watch our diet. We need to make sure we're still exercising any way we can. And there's just so many things that are important for the longevity of us. It's just, it's very amazing, Don.
Yeah. Just to add a little bit to that, it's on an everyday basis when there is no more COVID-19 running around our neighborhoods and stuff. And I'm hoping that day is soon, just like everybody. But when we go out to dinner and we're able to go out to dinner again, watch where you go. I myself do not go to buffets. It's not a friendly thing for me. I just see trouble waiting at every corner. Other things is I stay away from my grandkids when they're sick, and so on and so forth. How about you, Bob? You got some?
Yeah, absolutely, Don. Absolutely. When I got my transplant, the transplant team was absolutely adamant that I do not eat at the buffet. You're right. And it was, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. But if you have ever actually sat at a buffet and waited and just watched before you went up there, normal people would never eat at a buffet either. I mean, from the kids that are scratching their butts and then grabbing food out of the tray, or people picking things up off the floor because they dropped the spoon. God knows what those people have done with their hands before they grab that spoon, that you are going to go ahead and get your own food as well. Until I got in, with my transplant, I had never thought of things like this. But yeah, buffets, you really have to be careful. You got to trust the people. One of the things too that really shouldn't have surprised me was they reminded me to be very careful at family outings, you know, like family reunions. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And they said, well, first of all, most family reunions are done in the summer where it's nice and warm. And the food's out on picnic tables or tables and it's out in the sun. And you have no idea how long they've been warm or not refrigerated. And they said, and you don't have any idea what the food handling safety was like on the food that was made to bring to the potluck or the dinners. It's a wonderful idea, but they said, you know, when you're compromised, your immune system, these are things that you should leave in the past. And so they recommended that you just bring your own food. You know, it's that's how you can be safer. You can still go to family reunions. You can still have fun on picnics, you know, out in the park in 100-degree weather. Just bring your own food that you know is safe. And for me, that's been really good. The other thing, Don, that I'm really conscious of is when you're at work and somebody brings in food, you know, you have to think, what kind of chance am I taking if I eat this food or community food? Yeah, a box of cookies, something like that. You have no idea how many hands have been in that. So there's things that I do. You're right about the grandkids. Actually, my entire family. If somebody's got a fever, I don't visit. They don't come over to my house. You know, it's not even just a fever, but my kids, my daughter will call and say, I'm sorry, but, you know, Gavin's got a runny nose this weekend. I don't think we should bring him over. And I'll go, good. Appreciate that, you know, and that's, you know, that's an important time too right now with this COVID-19. We really have to be careful with our the latest information that I got was is if your grandkids have shown signs of COVID of any kind, we're not supposed to see them for 4 months. That's gonna be tough, you know. I mean, it's important for a lot of reasons to follow these guidelines. But yeah, Don, so back to you.
Well, yeah, it does. And it takes us longer to recover, you know. It's like on a normal basis, with our immune system suppressed, a common cold, maybe, you know, a week and a half for the average person. For us, it could be a month or so. Now, I'm gonna tell you a little story about a cold that started just right around Thanksgiving time of 2000, and I had a little cough. And, you know, everybody was having a little cough, and I didn't pay much attention to it. And I took some cough medicine. And, you know, I didn't feel tired or anything. And all of a sudden, you know, Christmas came and went, and I still had the cough. You know, New Year's Day was starting to drag, and by January 5th, I was in the hospital. They diagnosed me with AFib, caused from pneumonia and water on the lung. And so they ended up draining the fluid around my lung and found out that it had sepsis in it. And that's not a good thing for people with immune-suppressed bodies. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to find people who took care of the deal for me, got me the antibiotics I needed, got my heart back in rhythm again, and got me so I could breathe. It took a little while for me to put one foot in front of the other. I couldn't even take a shower, you know. And I knew better from the very beginning, when that cough didn't go away, that I should have went to my primary care physician and said, hey, we need to find out what's going on. But I didn't, because it was just a cold. Well, just a cold turned into a lot more than that. And it set me back. Now, normally, the road back to life kind of shuts down starting in the first couple of weeks of November. And we don't start back up until about the middle of January again, because everybody's partying. It's Christmas. There's family. There's all kinds of things. And we at the road back to life don't want to interfere with family. And that time of season and stuff. So we shut down. Well, consequently, we're just now starting to get back on the air due to the fact that I got sick. And it took us out about another 2 months. So, you know, pay attention to your body. it takes longer for you to recover and to become healthy again. And it could set you back maybe permanently from receiving some of the technology that's out there waiting for it. I know, Bob, you had a story similar to that.
Actually, I do. I share this story a lot with patients and actually people who are going to be patients. But it's really important for all of us. It really is. I was on dialysis and I was being a really good patient, but I had taken a long weekend, 3-day weekend, and I flew down to California to see my mom and my mom and dad, but my mom had advanced MS, you know, so when I had a chance to go see her, we did. So my wife and I flew to their town. Actually, it was Sacramento, California. And I visited with mom and my brother lives there. And I ended up getting food poisoning. We went to a restaurant, ate food. And, you know, I was trying to be careful. But you know how it is. You're traveling and you're with friends and stuff. And so even to this day, I don't know if it was food poisoning or I made a bad decision. Nobody really knows. But what happened was is that about 2:00 in the morning, I started having diarrhea. And, you know, I'm a 50-year-old guy. I was always taught, you know, the way you treat diarrhea is you wait until it's over. About 5:00 in the morning, I started throwing up. And so I was throwing up and diarrhea. And I kind of forgot that I was a kidney patient. And I was just trying to deal with it like I was taught when I was a kid. You stop drinking, you stop eating until everything stops, right? Then you go back. You start gently going back in with some broth or whatnot. Well, I had to go home. That was on Sunday. So I had a flight schedule for that afternoon. And I never even thought about it. I just was going by what I thought, you know, and I'm a tough 50-year-old guy, so I'll fix this out or I'll fix this up myself. Well, tell you what, it wasn't until I was at the airport that I really realized that I might be in trouble. It took me a long time because my brain was pretty foggy. And but to make a long story short, what actually happened was is I got so dehydrated that my body started shutting down. And by the time I realized that I was dehydrated, I couldn't drink anymore. I was at the airport. I went and I got a bottle of water and I tried to drink part of it. And I ended up just throwing it right back up. I couldn't get any fluids in me. And my wife was there. I'm not alone. But she kept saying, you know, are you okay? And all I could think of and all I could tell her was, is I want to go home. I want to be home and I'm going to go get dialyzed and I'll feel better. I didn't think, you know, that I could die. I just figured I was going to get really sick. And I was really sick. But I almost died. To be honest with you guys, what happened was, is by the time I decided that maybe I needed to get help, when the EMTs got there, yeah, that's right, EMTs. And we're talking a period of between, it started 2:00 in the morning. By 5:00 in the afternoon, I was in the emergency room, ICU of UC Davis. When the EMTs got to the airport to pick me up, I had already been checked by the medics that were there at the airport. My blood pressure was 40 over 20, and my heart was in arrhythmia. And, you know, so they got me. All I remember by this point, I wasn't hardly there. I remember some lady saying, "Oh, poor man," whenever they rolled me on a gurney out of the airport. But here's how foggy my thinking was. The thing that got me to the point where I realized I needed help was when my wife said, "You realize that if you get on the airplane and something goes wrong, you're going to really disrupt everybody else on the airplane." And I thought, man, I don't want to piss off everybody in the airplane. That wouldn't be good. And that was the time, that was the thought I had. I didn't want to, you know, interfere with other people's airplane ride. And it's a good thing I did, guys, because whenever I got to the hospital, they said that I would not have survived if I'd got on the airplane. They said the airplane would not have been able to turn around in time to get me back and get me onboarded and to the hospital. I can't really remember how many liters, but my blood volume was down. I think, if I remember right, within 24 hours, I got 10 liters of saline solution to bring my blood pressure back up, get me back going. And immediately the first thing they did, Don, was put me on dialysis. As soon as I got to they put me in ICU and then they moved me up to dialysis. And when they hooked me up, my blood was black. It looked like that infused iron that they give you when you're in the dialysis center, you know? And so they put me on dialysis and I was really dry. So they didn't take any fluid, but here's the fun thing. Because I was in a hospital in the emergency room and my potassium was almost 7.4, which is high, really high. They decided to give me the medication that lowers potassium, which causes diarrhea. It was a fun trip.
You were high enough that potassium would have got you anyway, probably.
Yeah, that's why my heart was in arrhythmia. Yeah. But long story short, here was this 50-year-old guy that thought I was invulnerable, you know, kind of forgot that he was a kidney patient, decided he could fix this on his own. And from 2:30, 2 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was on death's door. That's quick. Things happen fast when we're a kidney patient or any kind of long-term illness. And we have to remember that. And so, you know, you're right. We have to be cognizant of that. We got to remember we're not just that normal person that can get away with things. If something is wrong, you need to tell your doctor.
Yeah, we may be 10 foot tall, but we're not bulletproof anymore. So, you know, and the older we get, the less bulletproof we are. We're not able to move fast enough to dodge those bullets either. So.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we probably wouldn't even see them coming.
The interesting thing I know, Bob, is that, you know, we need to stay healthy because there's things that are out there in new technology wise that are available if we keep healthy, you know, and I think that is, a very, very important reason to stay healthy. What do you say about that?
Absolutely. You know, there's so much advancement in technology coming, and it should be a no-brainer. But, you know, sometimes you have to be reminded. But when it comes to new technology, they're not going to give it to everybody. You know, if you want to be involved and you want to have the possibility of seeing how it works with an artificial kidney or any of the new technology that's coming out, and it's so exciting, they're not going to give it to bad patients. They're going to pick the best because, you know, they want it to be successful. So that means that we have to be the best patient, not only that we can be, but you want to be the best patient wherever you're at. You know, so the side effect of that too is you're a good candidate for, or you can be a better candidate for transplant if you're a really good patient, if you're thinking future. And it's just something we should all do. Not only that, but it saves resources. It saves resources for the rest of the folks out there. You know, I mean, I'm always thinking of the fact that I have a son who has kidney disease, just like me. I have a hereditary kidney disease. And we talked about that in an earlier podcast. But for me, I'm always thinking of how I can save resources so that he has the same opportunities that I've had dealing with kids.
Yeah. And I think even if we go back old school, you know, you gotta, when you realize that your kidneys are failing, you need to find resources out there that's going to help you stay off dialysis as long as you can in a healthy way. And I know the Puget Sound Kidney Centers up there in Western Washington, just north of Seattle, they have a chronic kidney disease class, which has it's a lot to do about diet and reading labels and what we put into our bodies that'll help us keep our kidneys longer and keep us healthier and so on and so forth. And it's been successful to the point where some people who are stage 4 went back to stage 3. And some people have been taken off of their blood pressure meds by their doctors, not arbitrarily now, by their doctors, and they have succeeded, and so when you find out that your kidneys are failing, then find the resources that's going to sustain you as long as you can before you start dialysis, because those same practices when you start dialysis are going to be the same practices that's going to keep you good and healthy while you're on dialysis, so you can get a transplant. If you are not healthy going into this whole dialysis and you haven't had the mindset to do the right thing and you keep going willy-nilly through life, that's probably got you where you're at unless you have a hereditary. Then, you know, the transplant team takes a look at that and says, you know, this person's going to have to do a few things before we can consider them. So depending on what you want out of life, you need to start planning. So even the old technology is available to you. And let me tell you, 17 years ago, I was transplanted. Same kidney, doing well. My last blood test is my creatinine was a 0.93 or 94, something like that, which is about, something that a 20, 30-year-old person would have that's in great condition. So I've tried to take care of this kidney and do the right thing. You know, I take my meds and all of that. So, you know, we need to put ourselves in a position so we can win through this. And that's what part of the staying healthy is all about, you know. And right now, I'm just going to conclude this little deal with, if you haven't thought about it, please start thinking in a positive direction that's going to get you what you want out, okay? And you know, it looks like, Bob, can you stick around for another half hour?
Absolutely.
Great. We're going to continue this. It'll be a part two of staying healthy and COVID-19. This is Don and Ashley saying, be kind to one another. We hope this week's show has provided you with valuable information and inspiration you can apply to your life. Keep in mind, anything said on this show is for educational purposes only. As always, we encourage you to write down your questions and take them with you to your healthcare provider. If you have any questions for us or would like to talk to one of our mentors at The Road Back to Life, please feel free to email us at mail@theroadbacktolife.com and we'll be happy to assist you. Now be kind to one another.